What's up, family? How y'all doing today? Can I have all y'all stand up? I want to say hello to all the campuses in East County, Chula Vista, City Heights, San Marcos, and Oahu. Let's give all those people a big hand. And online, God bless y'all. God bless y'all. We are excited about the word today. I'm so excited about what God's going to say to you. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say. God's going to... I pray this with me, just in your heart. Pray, dear God, you can pray it out loud. Dear God, open my eyes that I may see the spiritual battle that I'm in. Give me the courage and the wisdom to fight it according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, give someone a big hug next to you. Give a hug, a high five. Turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. I don't know if you noticed that football is back. Yeah. How many of y'all don't care? Right, we recognize y'all. That's why you're in church. That's why you're in church. Kind of get that demon out of you. Set you free. Set you free. This guy was walking by a pool, and the pool was 8 feet deep, and there was a woman in it drowning. And she was, you know, going up and down under the water and crying out, "Help me, help me." And the guy said, "Can you swim?" She said, "No." He says, "Well, why did you get in the water for?" He said, "Didn't you realize there was no lifeguard there? Didn't you see the sign that said it was 8 feet deep? Do you realize you didn't have a life preserver? So I don't understand why you got in the water and how you're in this predicament." And all those were facts, but she was drowning. This is a conversation between a man and a woman, by the way. This is how male and female communicate. The female's communicating on an emotional level. "I'm dying." And the guy's communicating on a factual level. We don't have the budget. Or whatever it is that you argue. How many ladies can relate to what I'm talking about? Matter of fact, some of y'all went, "That's what's going on. That's what's been going on." Yes, women and men speak on different wavelengths. But my message and reason of using that illustration is not a relationship issue. That's probably another message. There are a lot of people who are no Bible verses. They have a church. They have some theological positions on things that they're adamant about. But you're still drowning. You have facts, but you can't love your enemy. You gossip all the time. You get high all the time. Get drunk. I was on an elevator yesterday coming from the Padre gang. We had faith night last night. By the way, that was awesome. That was awesome. And, you know, and I got in the elevator, and this guy and this lady were in the elevator. They were toe up. They were all in the corner of the elevator, just like, oh. And the dude, I'm standing out. I mean, he's right there. I mean, literally, I could touch him. And they're all up in the corner of the elevator. She's like this. And he turns around. I almost started laughing out loud because it's so funny. He turned around and just looked at me like, Some of y'all do that. You have the facts. You say, "Oh, yeah, I go to the Rock Church. I can't tell you how many people I meet go to the Rock Church. They tell me they go on Saturday night service." We don't have a Saturday night service. But a lot of us are drowning in spiritual warfare. We're losing the battle. The devil has us like puppets. He has strings on us and tells us where to go, what to wear, how to act, what to say, how to respond, how to gossip. And he's just pulling our strings. And yet we say we're a Christian. And so this series called Eyes to See is to help us to open our eyes up to understand what spiritual warfare looks like, at least on a basic level that we all go through, because there's a basic level that we all go through. Then there's that, you know, exorcist movie version that very few people experience, but it's very real. I've been in exorcisms and those kind of things. But the most basic stuff that all of us deal with every day, and I would venture to say every minute of every day, that we're so used to it, we don't even consider it demonic. We just consider it human nature. human nature is God's nature. God gave us his nature. We saw that in the first 2 weeks of this series. Sin is expressing Satan's nature. So what we see all the time usually is Satan's nature. We want to get out of that and express God's nature, because God made us in his image, so his nature would be expressed through us. That's the warfare right there. So I'm gonna do a little recap to give us context, and then we're gonna get into our message today. We have three more in this series. Today we're gonna talk about the devil's accusations against God that we have believed. Let's give context. A couple weeks ago we talked about the fact that we are all body, soul, and spirit. Everyone say body, soul, spirit. The physical body interacts with the physical world. The physical body is limited to the physical world. Then you have, all the way to the left, your spirit that interacts with God. And then in the middle is your soul, which is your mind, your conscience, your will, that interacts with both. And what I mean by that is that God can speak to you, but you have to make a conscious decision to listen and express it in your body. So God has given us that option to say no to him. And we do all the time. That's called sin. You say no to God, yes to the devil. There is no third option. It's either devil or God that you're listening to. So you have your body that interacts with the physical world. It's very limited. Your hands are very limited in what they can do. Your hands don't have a mind. Your brain and your mind are separate. Your brain is the physical 2.5-pound computer in your skull. Your mind is your invisible, non-physical self. It's your soul outside. You can actually look at yourself from the outside. And so you have your body and your spirit. Your spirit interacts with God. And your soul, your mind, your conscience, your emotions, your will can interact with God and speak to God. And by the way, can also communicate with the devil. It communicates with the spiritual world. And then your mind and your will can also communicate with your physical body. That's why I'm moving my hand. My mind is doing this. Okay, I can make a decision to take a step. Okay, so I can take a decision to have a conversation with God, and I can make a decision to actually express what we talk about in the real world. That's what walking with Jesus is about. Or I can make a decision and say, God, I'm not gonna listen to you, I'm gonna listen to the devil, and then express that. That's what sin is about. Those are your two options. Are you following me? Are you following me? So my prayer is, again, that you see this stuff, because as you're listening, that warfare is happening in your head. There are going to be things probably most of the time, if not every time, I don't know how often, that you come to church, you hear stuff you don't agree with or don't want to hear, and you have this argument in your head. That's all spiritual warfare. It's thinking. Yes, there's an interaction with you and evil spirits, and an interaction with you and the Holy Spirit all the time. Okay, we're more connected to the spiritual world than we think, because we are created to be spiritual beings. Okay, so as you're sitting here, you're gonna be thinking, I don't know about that. Oh, what about that? And because, you know, the devil's gonna tell you that you know better than anybody, that even God can't tell you what's up. Because the Holy Spirit can say something to you, going, I ain't gonna do that. Therefore, now you are smarter than God in that instance, in your mind. You may not think about it that way, but that's what's going on. And so you have your body, say body. Your soul and your spirit. And your soul, which is your mind, your conscience, your emotions, your will, communicates with both. Okay, you hear God and you agree or not, and then you express it in the physical world. Okay, there's four things that go on with you in your spiritual warfare every day. One is a conversation. Everybody say conversation. We saw this in Genesis chapter 3. We see it in Job chapter 1. We saw it in the Gospels that Satan can have a conversation with us. And when I say Satan, I'm talking about demonic spirits. Satan himself won't talk to us. He's got bigger things to deal with, but his dominion, his principalities, his powers and rulers will have conversations with you through gossip, through criticism. And in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, the devil himself in this particular case talks with Eve. And he says to her, God told Eve and Adam, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you'll die. And by the way, when God says don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's not that God didn't want us to know evil. Imagine if you never knew, raise your hand if you would have loved to have never known a broken heart. Thank you. If you didn't hear that, she said, oh God, right? God's like, I don't want you to know that. I mean, you don't have to raise your hand because I don't want you to rat yourself out, but maybe you didn't want to know addiction. You didn't want to know depression. You didn't want to know anxiety. Jealousy, how about that one? Jealousy. Jealousy is a monster. Can I get amen? Jealousy is a monster. God did not want us to understand that. He wanted us to just walk with him in the cool of the day. So just understand that. So when he said, stay away from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is basically eating of the fruit of disobedience and rejection and rebellion against God, basically what that represents. The devil comes and has a conversation. And this happens to all of us every day. You hear something, someone give you advice, whether from the Bible or anything, and then another voice comes and says, you don't need to listen to that. How many of y'all heard that before? Anybody? Anybody? You don't really need to go to small group. You don't really need to tithe. You don't really need to serve. You can still be a Christian and not go to church. You're not going to be a really good Christian because this, and by the way, going to church doesn't necessarily mean coming on Sunday, listen to someone speak. It means getting involved in the body of what's going on here, getting in small groups, tithing, serving the community. It means all, being accountable to each other. That's what all that means. So if you come in and kind of slip in the back and slip out, you're not really going to church. You're attending a service and you're missing out on your life being transformed. So this conversation, the devil says, the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. I know God told you that, but I'm telling you, you will not die. For God knows in the day you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So somebody's lying. The devil's lying or God's lying. You can't, both those things can't be true. Both those things can't be true. I know some of you are thinking, well, there's a lot of religions and ways to get to heaven. No, they're not. You can't say Jesus is the only way and at the same time say Jesus is not the only way. Those two things can't be true. You can't, it's called a law of non-contradiction. It's a law of logic. And it's basically saying you can't say this is a Bible and at the same time it is not a Bible. That's not logical. It's impossible to say that. I mean, you could say it, but it's not true. It's either a Bible or not. Now, you can say it's a Bible and something else, a book and a direction. Yeah, that's true. You could say that. As long as those ends are true. But you can't say that something is true and not true at the same time. So if God says you shouldn't eat from this tree or you're gonna die, and then the devil says you won't die, then one of those are wrong. They both can't be true. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. Muchas gracias. Conversation, then accusation. When the devil speaks, he's always making an accusation because he's a liar. So he's always telling a lie. He's always wanting you to believe something that's not true. Revelation 12:10, it says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven, salvation and strength. This is when the devil was cast out of heaven. Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of our Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. Everyone say accuser. Satan is an accuser. Day and night, the devil knows your name. He knows what tempts you. He knows what you like. He knows how to get you to say stuff he wants you to say. He knows how to get you to dress like he wants you to dress. He knows how to get you to break your diet when you set a diet. He knows how to get you to sin. Why? Because you tell him. You talk about it. He can't read your mind, but he can hear your voice and he can hear what other people say. So we tell him. So he knows that. And when you sin, he goes, hey, look at your hypocrite right there. By a show of hands, how many of you can list 10, 20 things that God, the devil's probably accusing you of before God that are true? Anybody? Let me say that. I know I'm talking fast. I got a lot of information I'm trying to get you. I'm excited about this, so let me slow it down. If you thought about your life, and if I was the devil, which I'm not, right now, I'm never going to be the devil. But I wanted to accuse you of being a hypocrite before God. How many of you can think of a few things that I might be right about? So you can address those things. If you know him, he knows them. Deal with it. But that's what he does. In this particular case, he's accusing God of being a liar. Now, just because he accuses somebody of something doesn't make it true. The devil is the father of lies. And God is truth. The devil is only accusing God of what he is. He's trying to deflect from him being the father of lies. So you got the conversation that the devil has. Whenever he speaks, he's going to accuse either God of something, he's going to accuse you of being something, or he's going to accuse somebody else of being something. Next week, we're going to talk about his accusation against us, that we have about ourselves, that we accuse ourselves. I'm not going to get into it, but you have to come next week. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about the accusations that he puts in our head about other people, which causes us to gossip and be jealous and envious and whatever. But if you could learn to fight these three battles, because those are the three type of accusations that the devil makes in Genesis 3, against God, against ourselves, and against other people, then you can understand this warfare that you're dealing with all day. And I would venture to say he's making these kind of accusations against God, yourself, and other people every day. Every day. In this particular case, he's saying that God lied. God is not who he says he is. God told you he's going to answer your prayer. He's not answering your prayer. God told you he's going to bless you. He ain't blessing you. Look at that person. God told you that he loves you. How's a God going to love you, going to let this happen to you? All day long, the devil is trying to break your relationship with God. The devil speaks three times here in Genesis and Job and in the Gospels. And every time he speaks, he tries to break the relationship between man and God. And in the Gospels, he tries to break the relationship between the God-man Jesus and his own Father. Because if he could break that relationship, then he's got you. Because no matter how many degrees you have, no matter how much wisdom you have, you can never outsmart Satan. So if he can get you to turn your back on God, you're done. You can go to all church you want. But as long as you don't trust God to the degree that he deserves, you can't be blessed to the degree that he wants you to. And so his first accusation is that God lied. I know God told you this, but I'm telling you it's not true. So everyone say conversation. Say accusation. Say validation. Validation is when you take that accusation that the devil makes and you go, yeah, huh? Yeah, huh? Can't tell you how many times people come to tell me, my dad died, I'm mad at God. I mean, we've all heard that. Why did God let this happen to the baby? Why did God let this happen? That's a whole nother series, but I will tell you that we created a sinful world that brings death into it. I had someone just the other day in the airport, I was witnessing somebody, and they said, yeah, I walked away from God because my twin sister killed herself. I said, why did she kill herself? Well, she got this, and it happened, this happened, and this happened. I said, no, and then I literally said, where was God? Why did God, you blame God for that? I don't understand. He didn't make her do that. Matter of fact, he still loves you and has comforted you through it. And I wasn't there, but I wonder how many times he tried to intervene, and you guys ignored him. I don't know that. But so the devil's always trying to pit us against God because the devil's trying to tell us to establish our own criteria for justice. Because justice is this, according to us, and God did this, he's wrong. That's the devil. That's the spiritual warfare. So you have conversation. Say accusation. Say validation. Say validation. Validation is when you say, yeah, huh. And look what happens. You open the door for all this demonic stuff to come into your life. Look what it says in Matthew 15. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. When you say to Satan, I trust you, he goes, okay, now let me give you all my power. Let me give you all my wisdom. Let me give you all my deception. I got you now. A lying spirit. Jealous spirit. Spirit of fear. Unclean spirit. These are spirits literally listed in the Bible. Antichrist spirit. Unloving spirit. And all those spirits are instigating accusations of jealousy, fear, envy, murder, violence, hatred, anger. And we deal with that all day long. How many of y'all can relate to some of these feelings and issues? How about this? Elbow above the ear, if I can see that. That would help me really make it. Thank you. Because if you don't raise your hand, I'm thinking you're not getting it. I'm thinking I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. Okay, so you got conversation. Say conversation. Say accusation. Say validation. And the last one is ramification. Sin, death. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, death through sin thus spread to all men. Death of relationship, death of opportunity, death of vision, death of joy. So now we're drowning. And what I mean by drowning, we're trying to live our life. We're going to church. They want me to get in a small room. I'm so busy. I'm trying to get this money. I'm trying to be happy. And we're drowning because we're not living according to the word of God. We're trying. We got a few biblical facts over here, but I'm still drowning. So what do I do? Three things. Very simple. Everyone say the word repent. Say repent. Say resist. Say restore. These three things. I'm sure there's other ways to do this, but this is going to be what we're going to talk about for the next 3 weeks, to this week and next 2 weeks. Look what it says in Mark chapter 6. We're going to look at repent. Jesus is going to tell his disciples, I want you to preach this. Repent, resist, and restore. Verse 7, it says, he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two. He gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded that they take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper, or money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Also, he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there until you depart that place. And whenever you enter a city, go to a house and stay there. Whoever will not receive nor hear you, when you depart, shake the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Whoa, what? Imagine that. Oh, what? Okay, I don't even want your dust on my shoes. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable in Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, here's the verse 12. Here's what we see. Repent, resist, restore. So they went out and they preached that the people should what? Say it loud. And cast out many demons. That means they would have authority over demons to resist them and tell them where to go. Out, 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 out. And then after that, they anointed people with oil who were sick, and they were healed, restored, reestablished of kingdom of God alignment. Number one, repent. Repent means to remorsefully reverse your course. I'm going to ask all of you to stand up in all the campuses. If you could stand up, get your stuff. We're not going anywhere. We're just going to stand in place. Okay? Stand up. Now, I want all of y'all to turn to your right. And if you're watching on the screen, it's the backwards, just do whatever. Everybody just do the same direction. Just do that way. Okay? Now, I want you to start marching. Okay? Just start marching. You're walking. You are proceeding through your life. You're going about your business. You're going to work. You're talking. You're eating. You're having relationships. And then I want you now to turn around and walk the other direction. This means to repent. Everyone say, repent. Repent means to change your course of action. So now you're marching, and you go, oh man, God showed me I'm knucklehead. Now turn back around, go the other way. Say repent. This is what it means to repent, to change your direction. Now face me. The Bible says in Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent. Everyone say repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mark chapter 1, verse 14, it says, John was put in prison. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Everyone say repent and believe the gospel. You may be seated. Repent means to change direction. Repent means to what? Repent means to what? I'm smoking weed all the time and going to church. I'm smoking weed on Saturday and I go to church and the Holy Ghost called me. Boom, shakalaka, I gotta repent and stop smoking weed. I'm watching the Nudie Booty channel on my phone and I'm watching all this nastiness. And then God comes up and says, oh, I gotta purify my mind. I gotta change my mind. Can't watch that channel anymore. I'm hanging out with knuckleheads that gossip all the time and they just complain about everything. Everybody's negative, negative, negative. I gotta repent. I can't be around them. Are y'all following what I'm saying? If you don't do that, what's going to change? Nothing. Nothing. Whoa. Hold on. I'm going to church, but I don't read my Bible. I just go think. They're just going to put the verses on the screen. I don't need that. You need to repent and bring your Bible. I'm going to church. They tell me to get in a small group, but I'm going to do this on my own. I don't need those people to tell me what to do. No, you need to repent and get in a small group. I'm going to church. I don't tithe. I'm going to keep my money. That's my money. It's my job. Tell God not that he can't take your job. I need to repent. The devil told me God's not faithful. He don't love me. He's not going to bless me, so why would I obey him? You need to repent. The only reason you are alive, even a dog knows that. The dog is declaring the glory of God. Oh, oh. On the count of three, let's bark like a dog. Oh, oh, oh. Someone's going to tweet, oh, they're barking like dogs now at the Rock Church. You need to repent. He just told me that y'all right. He's right. The devil told you God's not faithful and you believed him. The reason you don't read the Bible as much as you do, should, whatever that is, you don't believe it'll do any good. All behavior is purposeful. The reason you do your hair the way you do, wear the makeup you do, wear the clothes you do, is because you think it's going to bring an outcome, a desired outcome. This is the thought behind it. So the reason you don't pray, like for real pray, you don't believe it'll do any good because the devil told you that. The devil told you reading the Bible doesn't. The devil told you that if you tithe, that God won't honor you and bless your finances. Because if you believe that God would bless your finances, you would tithe. But you believe the lie that what God said to tithe and be generous, even above that, God won't honor you. You believe that lie. Now, you believe all these lies, and yet you say, God's not blessing me. God says, I'm only going to bless you. I'm going to say this real slow. God is only going to bless you according to his standard and word. He is never, everyone say never. Say it like you're from a valley, from Simi Valley. Say never.
Never.
He was never going to bless you on your terms. He got all the time in the world because he's eternal and you're going to die at some point. This is just basic fact. How many of y'all want your life to be blessed? Obey God. End of sermon. It ain't really. I still got a few minutes, but it's all you got. So here's what you need to. So what do I gotta repent? What do I gotta repent of? You gotta get on your knees. By the way, this is you. This is you going about your day, and these are the demons in your life. I want you to watch what happens. Here's your repentance. Lord, please forgive me for validating Satan's accusations that you are a liar. God, I'm so sorry. Watch this. I'm so sorry that I believed that reading my Bible would make a difference. I'm sorry that I believed that serving wouldn't make a difference. I'm sorry that I didn't believe that being financially faithful wouldn't make a difference. There's so many of you don't give financially here. You come to be entertained and you're not even paying your rent. You're freeloading on God. It's just a fact. And so you say, dear God, you show me. He already did in the word, by the way. We've already done sermons about it, but just so you need a refresher. You show me that tithing is 10%. You show me, and I'm going to by faith trust you because you show me that I have to only live by faith. So I'm sorry, God, that I need all this proof before I trust you. You have proven that you are worthy of my faith. So I'm so sorry. Imagine if you did that today. And you said, Lord, I'm going to break all the agreements with the devil that he's told me about you, that I believed. I'm going to do a series on the election coming up here right before the election. Oh, it's on. People think, you better say this, and you better say this, and you ain't no Christian if you don't say this. Okay. I'm going to go to God. What do you want me to say? Now, I'm not going to give it all away, but I got to say this because it's just like right here. God, I said, God, what do you want me? Where's this going to go? He said, one of the things I want you to ask them, you, not all of y'all, but some of y'all, because some of y'all have lost your mind. I only got a few minutes, so I'm just going to do this real quick. He said, I want you to ask them, why are they insanely more passionate about Do I need to finish the sentence? Why are they like losing their mind over that and not this? That's the question. I'm gonna stop there, but that's what you need to repent of. Lord, I just need to put you first, because if I have a clear vision of you, oh, everything else is just gonna shrink. The devil has created all this urgency and fear in our life. We gotta do this. And no. My God is way bigger than all my problems, and I'm gonna trust on my God. Then, Lord, I repent and commit to trusting you with all my heart. Now, once you do that, there's going to be a little, okay, the devil's going to back up a little bit. But then after you go about your business, the devil's going to come right back and whisper in your ear. Don't think they're going away. Oh, I'm saved by the blood and God's got me. Oh, is that right? You still got to fight the battle every day. That's why we have the Bible. So the second step is to resist. Everyone say resist. Oh, watch this. Resist. James 4:7-10 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You could actually give the devil the Heisman and take authority over the devil in the name of Jesus, because you are covered by the blood. But if you're walking around going, oh, God just got me, I don't gotta worry about it. No. You have to do something. Because he's coming at you. You're gonna hear accusations against God in just about every a whole lot of conversations you have with people. You're gonna hear anti-God conversation from television, from the social media, from the written media. And by the way, it won't be God this, but it's gonna be accusations that all this Christianity way of living is wrong. We live in a new era. That's a lie. Lies still hurt people. Adultery still hurts. Divorces wave. I was reading something today. It says, relationships are hard and divorce is hard. Well, which one do you want? They're both gonna be hard. It's hard. It hurts. I have not been divorced. I know from watching. It hurts. It hurts whether you are an independent woman, independent man, or whatever you want to call yourself. It's still gonna hurt, and it's gonna kill. It really hurt those kids. No matter how you slice and dice it, sin always brings death. Period. That's a fact. So no matter how much you package it and talk about how you're gonna live your life and how you're gonna have your lifestyle, at the end of the day, is the devil delivering you to you what he promised, which is gonna make you happy. He can't, because he's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a destroyer. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know, the high things are information that is contrary to the word of God. When someone tells you they're so smart that, oh, well, the Bible's not this, the Bible, I have better wisdom. That is the very voice of the devil. That's what the devil said to Eve. He said, Eve, you don't need to believe God, believe me. That's what it is. Now, the question is, what are you going to do with this information? The Bible says here that we should, in 2 Corinthians 10:4-6, it says that we should take every thought captive. So whenever you're having a conversation, or you're just laying in bed thinking about that employee that you can't stand, a fellow employee that you can't stand. You ever have arguments in your head, anybody? I know you do, because I know that's the game. They said this, and wait till I see it in the mark. They say this, I'm going to do this, and this is going to happen. And you come all bowed up to work, you know, ready to fight. Why? Because you're in this spiritual warfare that, and the devil's just playing you like a puppet. And you don't even know. You're like, it's him. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It ain't people. Against the spiritual forces of wickedness, of principalities and powers and rulers. You have to take that thought captive and say, is this God speaking to me, or is this the devil? If it's the devil, I need to repent of believing it. I need to resist by doing this. Number one, spend time reading the word. The devil is a liar. The Bible is the truth. I got to spend time reading the word. The word is a weapon. It's a sword. So I got to reestablish what is God's truth in my life. And if I establish what God's truth is in my life, then I can resist the devil's lies and I can come against the devil's lies. Number two, I need to spend time in worship. Worship is our posture here at the church, and it should be every church. And when we worship, worship is a weapon. When you declare the glory of God, the faithfulness of God, the authority of God, the power of God, demons go, I can't handle that. I can't handle that. Matter of fact, the devil was a worship angel. The devil was a worship angel, and he says, I want to worship to myself. And God said, I don't think so. Cast him out like lightning. That's what happened. So he wants us to worship him. How many secular songs do you sing that are about stuff that God doesn't want you to be thinking about? How many artists are actually depicting demonic stuff in their videos? And they're telling you. And we go, oh, look at that. It's so cool. That's how deceived we are. Oh, but they're a nice lady. They're a nice guy. No, but listen, I don't care anything. You don't know them. You don't know them. All I know is the fruit. And we listen to it. We program our brain. And we sing about stuff. And we sing about doing things that the Bible says don't do. Well, if you're singing about it and your brain is being, listen, your brain is being neurologically wired to believe it and to repeat it, you're going to live it. That's the warfare. It's right here. We got to take that thought captive. So we worship. We worship God because he's holy, because he's worthy of all our worship. The devil is not worthy of any of our worship. The Bible says the devil's worthy of our hatred. Oh, yes. Genesis 3:15, that God would put enmity, hatred. You can have biblical, spiritual, healthy hatred. God hates sin against the devil because all the pain in your life came because he brought deception into the world. Prayer is our priority here at the church because prayer is a weapon. Prayer says, God, I am bowing my knee to you, not him. I am going to do whatever you want me to do. And whatever happens after that, let me tell you something. I just throw this in about the election. You think your life's going to change? And be all better and good? You better get your eyes on him. Now, there will be two different outcomes and two different cultures. I get all that, of course. But ultimately, we're not citizens of this world. And so we got to get this life right. Because if this life ain't right, it don't matter what happens here. So lastly, the restore. You repent. Everyone say repent. Yes. Say resist. Yes. Every day, praying, reading. I'm in small group. I'm in fellowship. I'm being faithful to God. And as these voices coming in, as people, hey, listen, some of your friends, hey, you're just sitting down talking. Hey, you know what I heard? Ooh, watch out. Here it comes. They didn't do that. Wait. Hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Or how do you know that about that person? You ever hear people talk about celebrities? What they can't stand about celebrities? Just humor me. Anybody? Anybody raise your hand if you hear people. And you know, then. How many of those people actually know that celebrity? Zero. Stop. It's conditioning you that kind of conversation is okay when, no, I want to talk about God. I want to talk about the goodness of God. I want to talk about what he told me last night, what he's doing in my life, what he did in this person. There's so much good you could talk about with God. Go outside and look at the sunset and say, God, I glorify you for that. 93 million miles away, that ball of fire is out there. It ain't burned me up yet. I thank you for that. Restore, reestablish kingdom alignment. In a minute, we're going to pray. And my prayer is that you would just go home and really think about something we talked about today. Because if you go home, listen, I know that when you go to a presentation, a concert, whatever, people mostly remember what they felt than what they heard, emotional with facts. But I want to encourage you to go home and think about some of the facts. Like, what are the lies you believe? Really, really think. Do you believe that you should serve and get in a small group and take a next step here at the church? Or you do believe that, no, I don't need to do any of that. I'm just going to come in every now and then and sit in the back and get my little inspiration and my little laugh because Miles is funny. That ain't getting you anywhere. But that you would go home and say, you know what? I really need to be all in with God. And I need to stop believing this garbage that he's not faithful 100% of the time. He is not going to be faithful your way. You and I are not the boss. It's not based on our standard. Newsflash. I had an incident. It happens all the time. God will throw a curveball in my life. I'm like, dang it, why did you do that? That ain't right. And God's like, is that right? And then all of a sudden I'm going to go, yeah, he was right. Every time. But as soon as something don't happen, the devil gets in there and says, yeah, look what happened. Look at that. That ain't fair. How'd they get that job? How'd they get that car? How did he get that girl? Look at that dude. That dude is short. He's shorter than her. He got five glasses on and he got no teeth. How did he get that girl? Maybe he knows how to treat a woman. I don't know. But my point is this. That ain't none of your business anyway. Why is your head off in someone's business? Father, I just want to deal with my soul. I'm a sinner. Please help me see you more clearly. Help me obey you more faithfully. And you take care of all the rest. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to die anyway. At the end of the day, you are going to die. And you're going to stand before God. He's just going to ask you one question. That's it. I'm going to give you the question. This is an open book test. What did you do with my son Jesus? What did you do with my son Jesus? He died on the cross. You never talk about him. I'm an evangelist. I talk about Jesus all the time. I'm putting a training together that we're going to send the whole church through. And I can't tell you how many Christians tell me, well, I'm not an evangelist. I don't talk about Jesus. That statement is from the pit of hell. You're going to tell me that the Savior of the world died for your sin, gave you a whole new start, and you're not going to talk about him? If you would have as much walked past LeBron James and he was down the street, for sure you're going to tell somebody about that. I saw LeBron and we talked. He smiled at me and Or whoever you're, some of y'all Kardashian people. I saw the Kardashian. You be telling everybody, losing your mind, making stuff up, shouting from the rooftop. Ain't mean nothing in eternity. Yet the devil has convinced you, here's all the reasons why you can't talk about, shouldn't talk about Jesus. And he's got you duped, suckered. And guess who's losing out? Not only the people who you would tell, but you. Because when you talk about God and God's glorified in your life, God says, I can trust you now. When you give financially, I can trust you now. When you serve, I can trust you now. But if you don't do those things, he can't trust you. So you're asking for a blessing, but you're not being faithful in the little things. So my challenge to you is to go home and say, how am I not trusting God? What lies about God do I believe? And then say, Lord, I repent and I resist. I'm going to read the word. I'm going to pray and I'm going to worship. I'm going to get these things right in my life. And you and I are going to be on the same page. And once you have gotten on the same page, stuff starts happening. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, I can go on forever. You are so, so good to us. And I'm so sorry, I can't express it any more clearly. And my prayer for our church and the Christians all over, but our church today, is that we would spend time just identifying the lies that we believe and what actions those lies have caused us to take, what actions those lies have caused us not to take. And that we would just be faithful. And I pray that you would prepare our heart for what we're going to hear next week, because we're going to hear the lies that, some of the lies that the devil tells us to believe about ourselves, because we are our own worst enemy. But you created us fearfully and wonderfully made. You said we are marvelous. And that's what we should believe. You told us we should love ourselves, not hate ourselves. So I just pray that we would spend time today asking you in quiet, Lord, speak to me. Thank you. In a minute, I'm going to ask people to come forward in all the campuses if you want prayer. If the prayer team in all the campuses come forward, because some of y'all need to pray today. The devil's been beating you down, discouraging you. You are drowning as you lose this battle. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you. So, Lord, I pray that as people are sitting in the sanctuaries, that if you want prayer, that you just get out of your seat, come on down to the altar. This is just going to take 60 seconds, and I'm going to end this. If you want prayer, just get up out of your seat. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and there's a devil telling you, don't go. There's your battle right there. Is the devil telling you, oh, people are going to look at you, they're going to wonder this, oh, it's all lies. So just get up out of your seat, come on down to the altar. If you want prayer for anything, you want someone to pray for you to receive Christ, you want someone to pray for you for your marriage, for finances, anxiety, depression, loneliness, whatever it is, get up out of your seat and come on down to the altar. Thank you very much. Good, good, good. Let them come on down. Come on down. People, just straighten your legs. Your leg, your body will rise, and then start moving your feet and your body will walk down. Come on. Here we go. Come on. Come on. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Let's move the stanchions. Let people get out. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let people come down. Come on. God bless you. Let's just take 60 seconds. Come on. Come on down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you're in the balcony, just walk up, turn right or left, and you can walk around the side and come on down. Come on down. God bless you. 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 Lord Jesus, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for what's happening on the campuses. We pray people would get up out of their seat and be moved by the Spirit, not listen to the lies of the devil in their head. Thank you, God, so much for your faithfulness. Speak to us today. Help us understand the spiritual warfare that we're in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give them big hands. They come on down.